Cherry Wine, Ficlets, and Prequels by Gold-Hearted Sky, a collection of short fics read by CookieMom6067. Low Fidelity. "Where is he?" Andy chokes the moment she rushes through the door of Joe and Nikki's flat. Joe puts up his hands to try and block her path as he says, "Andy, wait. Just take a second to breathe. Booker's fine. He's just..." "I saw the pictures, Joe," Andy shouts, shoving his hands down and standing toe to toe with her friend. "I was the one he called from that bathroom, remember? I was the one he was begging for help that night. I know Booker's not fucking fine, and I'm not going to stand here and pretend he is." She stares Joe down, barely able to hold her furious tears back. "So let me see him." He sighs and steps aside. "Just keep the lights off," Joe says, "and try not to make too big of a deal out of this. Booker already feels bad enough having to come here." His words only add more fuel to the burning fire of her rage. Andy clenches her jaw and nods, walking down the hall to the spare room. They never should have let Booker go through with this. They never should have let him marry Leia. They should have known it was all a game to her, and she'd go right back to her old ways when she really had Booker. Andy should have done something, and she'll never forgive herself for just standing by and letting her friend go through this. The office door is slightly ajar, but she knocks anyway, more out of not wanting to startle Booker than out of mere courtesy. "Hey, Book. It's me, Andy," she hums, pushing the door open all the way. But the moment she does, her heart sinks into her stomach. "Christ." The bruises on his face are 6 shades darker than they were in the pictures Booker had sent them after the incident. Splotches of deep black and purple staining his entire face and neck. He's buzzed his hair short, no doubt to hide the patches Leia had pulled out in her rage, but Andy can still see the scabbed over spots on his scalp. "Hey, Andy," Booker mumbles, offering her a weak half-smile. "I'm really fucking glad to see you." A sharp breath punches out of her chest like the herald of a sob, and furious tears well up in her eyes. "Where is she?" Andy growls. "Where the fuck is Leia?" Booker's exhaustion sinks deeper into his face as his shoulders sag. "Please, I don't want to get her involved in..." "Don't get her involved," she shouts, stomach acid flooding into her mouth when Booker flinches out of habit. Andy forces her fist to unclench and her breathing to slow, but her heart is still pounding in her chest as she looks at him desperately. "Book, she is involved. She fucking did this to you. All I want is to have her fucking arrested." He stares at her for a second before his gaze falls to the floor between his feet. "No one will believe me." Andy's throat goes tight at how fucking defeated he sounds. "We have evidence, Booker," she says, going over to sit by his side on the daybed. "I heard her in the background when you called me. Just look at your fucking face. It's right there. Just let us call someone." He shakes his head, absentmindedly wringing his hands together. "You don't know Leia like I do, Andy. She's a goddamn lawyer and knows everyone. Even if I could file anything, she'd make my life a living hell." "She's already making your life hell," Andy croaks, gently touching Booker's shoulder. She can feel him trembling, and it's everything she can do not to just drag him into a tight hug. "At least tell me you're not going back to that house. Back to her." "I don't have anything else. I have to." Those 3 little words hurt more than Booker could ever know. He doesn't have to, and they both know it. He has Joe and Nikki. He has Andy. It doesn't have to be this way. But she's watched Leia slowly chip away at Booker's self-worth until there's nothing left but the man sitting beside her now. A man who's so empty that he really does believe that a marriage full of blood and abuse is better than having nothing at all. And Andy knows it's going to take time to build him back up, so all she can really do right now is rest her cheek on Booker's shoulder and reach for his hand, holding tight so he knows he's got at least some lifeline in this storm. When you are ready to leave her, we'll be here to help you. You know that, right? Booker sniffles quietly, voice small and tired and full of shame, as he mumbles, I know, Andy. I know. Release. You're coming tomorrow, right? Andy blinks, looking up at Nikki as she tries to remember what he said. Her brow furrows and she lets out an exhausted sigh as she asks, Sorry, what? It's been a long fucking week, Nikki. He waves off her apology, repeating himself once more. I asked if you were coming tomorrow with me and Joe to pick up Booker, he says. I know you usually work on Mondays, but I figured... Yeah, no, I'm definitely coming, she says quickly, scrubbing her hands over her thighs. This is way more important, and I wouldn't miss it for the fucking world. Andy hopes that she doesn't seem too anxious or eager to be there, but she has a feeling Nikki can see right through her. It's been 2.5 years since Booker had been arrested for the assault, and she hasn't been able to see or speak to him since that first phone call. Andy remembers that night clear as day, when Booker had found out Leia was pregnant, and his entire world crumbled around him, and that shattered, distraught look on his face as he pushed past her out the door was the last memory she had of him before he all but disappeared from their lives. If she doesn't get to see him tomorrow like she's supposed to... Nikki nudges her toes with his under the table and offers Andy a reassuring smile. It's going to be okay, Andy. Nothing's going to happen between tonight and tomorrow morning, he says, as if reading her mind. Andy lets out a breath she had been holding and runs her hand through her hair. I'm just nervous. A lot can happen in 2.5 years. And I can't stop thinking about those early letters he sent us. How fucking broken he sounded, she mumbles, staring at the half-eaten plate of food in front of her. I know it's a miracle he didn't kill himself in that fucking place, but fuck, Nikki. What if the Booker that went in isn't the one that comes back out? Her friend is quiet for a moment before he simply says, Then we'll love that Booker twice as hard. Andy spends the rest of the night anxiously pacing back and forth across the kitchen floor, stopping to stare at the photos of her and Booker she had pinned to the fridge more than once. Even though it's only been 2.5 years since she's seen her best friend, those 2.5 years have changed everything. She's turned 40, gotten 3 new piercings, gained 4 kilos, cut her hair. And those are only the things Booker's missed from her life. There was no way to measure the gaping absence that had been there at Nikki's graduation, or the almost 2 years Theo had spent growing up without his father. Life had gone on in unimaginable ways, and Booker had missed every second of it. She doesn't get a minute of sleep all night, adrenaline buzzing through Andy's body until 10 in the morning, when Joe and Nikki finally pick her up. They look equally exhausted, Joe silently passing her a coffee from the passenger seat. Is she coming? Andy asks quietly, picking at the rim of the cup as the car pulls away from the curb. Or is it just us? Maybe that's her biggest fear, if she's being honest with herself, that they're going to get to the prison and Andy's going to have to play nice with the woman responsible for Booker going away in the first place. Nikki shakes his head, swearing under his breath in Italian as someone cuts him off before muttering, No. Leia's not coming. I tried to get her to let us bring Theo, but she said they had to run errands today. As if some fucking errands were more important than Theo getting to meet his dad for the first time, Joe snarls furiously, shoulders going tight as he looks out the window. There would be chances later, but this moment was stolen by Leia just like she had stolen everything else from Booker. Even on a happy day like today, she still found the one way to hurt them all. Andy's hand clenches around her coffee cup, and she knows that anything that might come out of her mouth is going to give away how nervous she is about all of this. So even when they get to the prison and wait in the parking lot for any sign of Booker, Andy is still unusually quiet. She just stands there, staring at the double doors, all but holding her breath the entire time. And then she sees him. Andy doesn't care that she's been up for 24 hours, doesn't care that Booker looks absolutely worn through and haggard. She just cares that he's out. She instinctively takes off running, feet carrying her across the parking lot as fast as they can. Andy's entire body feels numb, but her heart beats in double time the second Booker catches sight of her, his mouth dropping open in hard-won relief. He drops the plastic bag in his hand and takes the two steps that remain between them, immediately catching Andy in a tight embrace as she crashes into him. "Oh my God, you're really out," Andy cries, breathless as she throws her arms around Booker's neck. His arms tighten around her waist, and she can feel Booker's breath hitch as the weary exhale he lets out turns into a held-back sob. "I've got you, Book," she whispers. "I fucking got you." "I'm sorry," he chokes, burying his face in Andy's shoulder. "I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry for everything." She shushes him weakly, just holding Booker as tight as she possibly can. Don't you fucking apologize. Not to me." Andy tangles her fingers through his hair, cradling her friend's head tenderly, and feels a sudden realization hit her like a bolt of lightning. She loves him. She loves Booker, and maybe always has. It's why Andy could barely stand going to his wedding, why the abuse he's suffered at Leia's hands cut even deeper than it does for Joe and Nikki, why Andy never wants to let Booker go now that she has him back in her arms. She loves him. Burning tears well up in her eyes as Andy presses her lips to the crown of his head and murmurs, "I really fucking missed you, Book. So goddamn much." Booker's grip goes impossibly tighter around the small of her waist, and she can barely hear the words that come out of his mouth. "I missed you too, Andromache. More than you'll ever know." Catch my breath. He hates how familiar this is. The overwhelming dread, the sense of impending doom that comes when she has him like this, the pound and pressure of blood behind his eyes as Leia's hands tighten around his throat, the complete and utter panic. But Booker won't touch her. Can't touch her. Not while she's 8 months pregnant, and not when any scratch or bruise could be taken as self-defense by the cops when she inevitably calls them. He barely made it through his first prison sentence without killing himself, and that was before he had held Theo, before he held Emil. His boys are the best part of his life, and Booker would rather die than go back to a prison cell and be forced to watch them grow up through pictures alone. But it doesn't mean he's not fucking terrified. It's been almost a year since Leia had done this last, but it feels even scarier this time around. Like the first time was just a warning, but this was a death sentence. His feet scrabble on the tile floor as Booker thrashes underneath her, and he can feel his hands start to go numb as he tries to brace them on the floor. But Leia's fury is even heavier than her body as she straddles his hips, all of her weight bearing down on his throat. "S'il te plaît," he mouths inaudibly, unable to get the desperate plea past her grip. Leia spits some vicious words back at him, but Booker can't hear anything over the overwhelming thud of blood in his ears.
"Leia, s'il te plaît."
Maybe this will be it. Maybe this will be the time she actually kills him and all of this will finally be over. But then Booker will never be able to see his boys again. Will never be able to spend time with Joe and Nikki again. Will never be able to tell Andy how he really feels about her. And if he's being honest with himself, Booker's not sure which would hurt the most. The terror takes over, building with the blood and the pressure in his head as Leia strangles him. Until suddenly, there's nothing. Nothing but darkness. He's not sure when he wakes up, but when he finally does, Booker feels his mind lagging behind his body. His arms are tangled under him, his face pressed against the tile, and a broken, rattling noise catches in his throat as Booker struggles to swallow. For a moment, he doesn't know where he is, how he got here, or why everything in his body hurts. But then bits and pieces of the fight come flooding back, and the shame begins to creep in. Everyone keeps telling him that none of this is his fault. But when he's lying on the floor of his house, beaten and strangled to the point of unconsciousness by his goddamn wife, Booker can't help but feel like he's playing a bigger part of it than anyone will admit. He's the one that stays. He's the one who's too much of a coward to fight back. He's the one that just lets this fucking happen over and over again. His arms shake as Booker pushes himself upright, palms slipping on the wet tile beneath him, and tears of embarrassment flood his eyes when he realizes his pants are soaked. It's a small comfort that Leia's already gone back upstairs and isn't here to humiliate him further, but he isn't able to hold back the first sob when it comes ripping out of his aching throat. There's no point in dragging himself up the stairs to try and plead with Leia to unlock the bedroom door long enough to get clean clothes, but Booker also knows that trying to get to Andy's apartment in this state would only make him feel worse than he already does. So he swallows down his battered pride and fumbles for his shattered phone to text Joe. His friend is painfully silent when he finally arrives 15 minutes later, but Booker can see the despair in Joe's eyes as he hands over the spare clothes. "Is Leia still here?" Joe asks, face tight as he watches Booker struggle to get his t-shirt over his head. "Jesus, please tell me she left so I can pack your shit and we can finally go. We can get the boys and..." "She's upstairs," Booker rasps, his hoarse, barely there voice cracking at first use. The kitchen spins as he tries to strip out of his wet jeans, and he has to catch himself on the countertop as a wave of dizziness washes over him. Joe grabs his bruised shoulders quickly, steadying him just long enough for Booker to peel his pants off and toss them into the sink.
Wouldn't have texted you if I knew I wasn't locked out of our room."
Joe's dark eyes go glassy and his jaw clenches tight, mouth pressing into a thin line. "Surprised you texted me at all. Usually you just show up at Andy's flat and I have to hear about it from her."
"Yeah, well, that was before Leia choked me out and I pissed my fucking pants," he wheezes bitterly.
It's hard enough having Joe here, seeing him like this. Booker can't even begin to wrap his head around the shame that would have come if he had to go to Andy like this.
"The only thing that would have been worse is if I had shit myself."
"You could have died." Booker freezes, the burn in his throat worsening, and not just from the damage Leia had done. His grip on the countertop tightens, and a flood of nausea washes over him when he finally risks a look at Joe. The younger man's eyes are full of furious tears, and Booker's honestly never seen him look so desperate. They've been friends for so long now that maybe he takes Joe for granted a little, but Booker can't deny the absolute despair that's taking hold tonight.
"You could have fucking died, Booker," Joe repeats,
hands clenching into fists as the first tear spills down his cheek. "And I don't know if you've had a chance to look in the mirror yet, but I'm honestly surprised she didn't kill you."
"It's not as bad as our honeymoon," Booker mumbles, ducking his head to hide his burning cheeks as he changes his underwear.
If it was, he would leave. He had sworn to himself that it ever got as bad as that night back in San Lucia, he would leave Leia, no matter the cost. But as much abuse as Booker has dealt with at his wife's hands, it's never come close, even now.
"I saw you when you were finally able to fly back. I was the one that picked you up from the fucking airport while you still couldn't even see straight," Joe spits, staring a hole into the kitchen wall before meeting his gaze with distraught eyes.
"And I've seen you roughed up more times than I can count, but
God, Booker,
This is the first time I'm actually fucking scared to leave you alone with her tonight. Another wave of nausea floods up through him, and Booker's throat is still too sore for him to swallow it back fully.
It's not that bad, he croaks, wincing at the ache running through his neck into the base of his skull as he avoids looking at the other man.
It's not that. Are you fucking kidding me, Booker? Joe chokes in disbelief. Grabbing him by the arm and dragging him over to the hallway mirror. In what goddamn world does this look not that bad to you? Booker stares at his own reflection in the mirror, and there's no escaping the reality anymore.
The blood vessels in both of his eyes have burst, turning the whites a bright crimson, and the skin around his nose and mouth is covered in a pinprick-like rash. He can already see the bruising on his throat from where Leia had wrapped her hands around it, and there's no way Booker is going to be able to hide this in the morning, not from his boss, not from his wife, not from his boys.
She's going to kill you one of these days. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I get that call, Joe says, his voice shaking more than Booker knows he means it to. We lost you once to prison, and I don't want it to be permanent this time. Please, let me take you back to our house, or Andy's flat, if you think it's safer, but just...
His voice fails as their eyes meet in the mirror.
Let this be enough, Booker. Please, just fucking leave.
His reflection goes blurry, and Booker's legs feel so weak that he's honestly not sure how he's still upright. He sucks a shallow, rattling breath into his aching chest and drops his gaze to the floor, heavy with shame.
I can't, Joe, Booker rasps, the first humiliated tear rolling down his cheek. I can't leave her.
Joe's hand drops from his arm as the younger man defeatedly sinks into one of the kitchen chairs.
Leia's going to try and make it look like you killed yourself when she finally goes over the edge. You know that, right?
He asks numbly, staring at the floor as Booker finishes getting dressed.
I know you're fucking scared that the boys will think you left them, but they're going to think that either way if it keeps going like this.
Good thing I've got you to make sure they know I love them, even when I'm dead, Booker jokes dryly, pain shooting up through his skull again as he pulls one of Nikki's old t-shirts on. But the quip cuts deeper than he expects, Joe's head snapping up as he spits,
Fuck you, Booker. Fuck.
His chin wobbles and a sharp, frustrated sob spills out as Joe buries his head in his hands, shoulders shaking. This is what he's done. Everyone around him is suffering, and Booker's too much of a coward to fix any of it. He's so fucking spineless. Joe is hurting, and all he does is make fucking jokes about it. Booker deserves every bit of abuse he gets.
I'm sorry, he mumbles, voice so small he's not even sure that the other man can hear it. Don't,
Joe chokes, nostrils flaring and jaw clenching. As he forces all the grief back down, he looks up at Booker, the exhausted heartache still so evident even as he shakes his head.
Don't fucking apologize. Not to me. Not after this.
Even though it's all Booker wants to do.
Maybe it's just because he spends so much of his life walking on eggshells, apologizing to Leia for everything from taking too long in the shower to things he hasn't actually even done. But there are 1,001 apologies trapped in Booker's throat. I'm sorry for calling you. I'm sorry for making you take care of me. I'm sorry for not killing myself when I should have. I'm sorry for being weak. They're all there, nesting in the aching halls of his chest like fucking rats. And Booker knows he'll never find peace until they're cut out and set free. But he knows another apology will only make things worse, so he forces a shaky, closed-mouthed smile across his face, and croaks,
Then thanks for putting up with me. I know I don't make it easy.
Another crashing wave of anguish washes across Joe's face, but he keeps his silence, at least until he looks out into the mess in the living room.
I'm going to clean all this up, and then I'm staying the fucking night, Joe says,
pushing himself up to his feet, like he's just daring Booker to try and tell him no. I don't care if Leia sees me in the morning. She needs to know that you've got people by your side. Booker swallows thickly, wanting nothing more than to tell Joe that it'll only make things worse. But there's no use. Everything makes it worse. And if he's being honest with himself, Booker doesn't really want to be alone tonight. Are you okay if I go out back and get some air? He asks hoarsely, heart plummeting anxiously into his already sick stomach when Joe stops and looks at him suspiciously. The floor feels like sand beneath him, and it's all Booker can do not to grab the counter to steady himself again. Joe doesn't need to worry about him any more than he already does. I just feel a little nauseous, he mumbles. Yeah, just... If you get sick, let me know so I can call Nikki, Joe says, words tight with concern. Leia might not have killed you yet, but that doesn't mean she didn't fucking hurt you. Another ache opens up in Booker's chest, and he can't even stomach looking at the other man anymore. He doesn't deserve Joe. Doesn't deserve any of his friends, really. Joe, Nikki, and Andy have been holding him together from the moment Booker had stepped out of prison, and all he's done is pull away and go right back to Leia. So he keeps his head down and his mouth shut as he slinks out the back door. The cool spring air helps ease Booker's nausea a little, but it does nothing to numb the pain in his neck as he finally lets his guard down. His hand shakes as he cups his throat, a low whimper rattling in his chest, and his vision goes blurry with tears as Booker allows himself to break for just a minute. He just wants this nightmare to be over. He's so fucking tired. Booker sinks into one of the patio chairs, dreading what tomorrow will bring. He has no idea how he's going to go to work in the morning without everyone knowing exactly what happened. Hell, he's even supposed to get lunch with Andy tomorrow. And just the idea of her seeing him like this is going to break them both. She deserves some kind of warning, but it's even harder to call Andy than it was to call Joe. Booker's shallow breathing goes ragged as he hunches over the phone, listening to it endlessly ring, and feels his heart plummet to his stomach when all he gets is her voicemail. You've reached Andromache Mavros. I'm sorry I'm not around, but leave a message and I'll call you back when I can. Beep. Andy. Andy, it's Book, he mumbles, his already weak voice cracking around every syllable. I know we were supposed to get together tomorrow, but I had a bad night, and I don't want you seeing me like this. At least, not right now. Joe's over here, and I'm fine, so don't worry about me. I just don't want you to think that I'm blowing you off for no reason. Booker scrubs his eyes and sniffs quietly. I'm sorry I didn't come to you, and I hope you know I would if I could. A biento. He presses the end button, his phone going dark as the night around him, and Booker clenches his eyes shut as his grip on his phone tightens. I love you, he whispers. The quiet words he'll never be able to say out loud, disappearing along with any lingering bit of hope Booker has. Maybe it's better that he's too much of a coward to tell Andy how he really feels. He doesn't deserve her anyway. And she deserves someone who is actually able to be with her, someone to hold her hand and kiss her and marry her. And the spiraling self-loathing suddenly reverses as a wave of nausea comes rushing up so fast that Booker barely has time to lurch out of the chair and stumble into the grass before his stomach turns on him. The stomach acid burns more than it should as he collapses to his knees and throws up. And Booker can feel that unrelenting pressure behind his eyes each time the muscles in his abdomen contract. His head spins and his vision blurs and everything hurts so much. Booker coughs and gags, trying to get that acrid taste out of his mouth. But there's nothing but bitter stomach acid and the sharp copper sting of fresh blood.
C'est maître debout,
he chokes, arms trembling. As much as his voice does, as Booker struggles to hold himself up.
Fuck.
It takes him a minute to find his footing, and even then, he's surprised his legs still hold him. It feels like he's walking through wet cement, every step harder than the last, and it's honestly a miracle that Booker doesn't throw up again before he manages to stagger over the threshold of the house. He finds Joe washing his hands at the sink and can't stop the shame from creeping back up when he catches sight of the mess of paper towels in the trash. Booker just wants to throw something, wants to scream at Joe to leave, wants to crawl upstairs and beg for Leia's forgiveness. But he doesn't, can't do a single fucking thing but stand there staring at the damage he did, the mess he keeps letting his friends clean up. Why can't she just have killed him and ended it? Sebastian! He flinches at his name, suddenly racing heart plummeting into his stomach, and doesn't even realize how bad he's shaking until he looks at Joe. The younger man is staring at him with glassy eyes, barely a foot away, and his hand hovering over Booker's shoulder, like Joe's afraid to touch him. I called your name 6 times and you just fucking stood there, staring at the fucking trash, Joe whispers, his other hand already reaching for his phone. I don't know what just happened or what Leia did to you, but I think something's wrong. I really think I need to call Nikki. Booker tries to open his mouth and reassure Joe that he's fine, that he doesn't need Nikki, that he doesn't need to go to a doctor, but it's like he's completely outside of his own body, like he's trapped in his own head with absolutely no way of escaping. Joe's hands finally wrap around his shoulders to steady him. As a shallow whimper punches out of Booker's chest, his vision going dark around the edges. It's okay, Booker. I've got you, Joe whispers, easing him down into the chair. Just try and breathe, yeah? But it is so fucking hard just trying to draw a single breath. Booker wheezes softly, fumbling around for his neck with a shaking hand, and only begins to settle when he's finally able to cradle his throat with his palm. Leia's hands weren't there. It was over for now, over for tonight, and she's not there. Time seems to ebb and flow, skipping around in minutes or hours until Nikki suddenly slips through the back door as silently as possible, already pulling a pair of gloves on. Booker tries to listen to what Nikki says, tries to give answers to questions asked, but all he can do is just sit there, paralyzed, while Nikki gently examines his neck and throat. He needs to go to a hospital, Yusuf. Booker hears Nikki murmur, the other man's voice sounding like sludge in his ears. If he doesn't get a CT scan and we miss blood clots, he could have a stroke or worse. I don't want to go, Booker mumbles numbly, staring at a tile in the corner of the kitchen and the blood stain from last week he forgot to clean up. He can hear Joe and Nikki both sigh in frustration and desperation and can't bring himself to look at either of his friends. I can't go, Nikki. Booker, please, Joe interrupts, that frantic urgency creeping into his voice again. We can make up some lie. Say you got jumped or something, but just, it'll be worse if she knows I went to the hospital. A lifeless tear silently rolls down Booker's cheek and he clenches his hands around his knees. His knuckles go white and it takes longer than it should to muster up the courage to admit, the next time will be worse. Nikki stares at him in silence, the Italian's ice blue eyes boring straight into Booker's soul and all the turmoil he can't hide. The silence that surrounds them feels like a tomb, until Nikki finally takes a deep breath and asks, has she hurt the boys yet? Booker shakes his head and braces himself for the inevitable follow-up question. If you go to the hospital, do you think she will? Booker drops his gaze, stomach acid creeping up his throat as he whispers, I don't want to find out. It's why he bears the brunt of so much abuse. The fear of going back to prison has backed him into more corners than he'll ever admit out loud to anyone. But the real threat is that Leia may turn her unchecked rage toward the boys if Booker isn't there to take it. He'd rather die by his wife's hands than let her hurt the boys. And Nikki seems to understand the decision, or maybe just accepts that arguing would be useless, because all he does is let out a soft sigh and nod. If that's what you think is best, and what will keep the boys safe, then I think it's better if you stay. Booker's eyes well up and his shoulders sag with relief as an exhausted, quivering smile tugs on his lips. Thank you, he croaks, the last of his strength breaking as he drops his head into his hands. He can hear Joe and Nikki faintly but furiously arguing in a mix of Italian and Arabic on the far side of the kitchen, but Booker's too tired to try and translate any of it. It's easy to guess what it's about. Joe, once again, unable to hold back how much he wants Leia out of the house she pays for, and Nikki trying to be level-headed about the practicality of it all. But it still makes him sick. The fact that Booker can't fight his own battles, and his two best friends have to fight their own war between one another after every fucking night he's too weak to deal with it alone. Booker startles a little as his phone suddenly buzzes in his pocket, no doubt Andy finally listening to his voicemail and trying to check in on him. And if he was alone, maybe he'd answer it, if nothing else but just to hear her voice, but he lets it go to voicemail. It'll be better this way. He can save it, deep in the hidden recesses and fabricated file names of his phone where Leia won't look, and listen to it on nights like this when Booker wants nothing more than to hear Andy reassuring him that she'll see him soon, reassuring him that things will be easier, even if they both know it's a lie. So he lets it all fade away. Hey, you still with me? Booker looks up at Joe, his bleary vision spinning so much that it takes him a minute to realize Nikki's left already. Fuck, you look like you're going to pass out, Joe murmurs, reaching out his hand. Come on, you need to go lie down. The couch isn't the most comfortable thing by any means, but Booker's body is so sore that he can't help but let out a soft groan the moment he lies down. That sharp pain spikes back through his neck as he fumbles for one of the pillows. Merde. Joe, give me that blue one and I can just... Fuck off. I'm not sleeping on this thing, Joe says, dragging the vintage chair Leia insisted on importing from the Netherlands across the living room over to the couch. He taps on Booker's shoulder before handing him the requested pillow. Move that giant head of yours so I can sit down, he teases gently, dropping down onto the couch when Booker begrudgingly complies. You know, Leia's going to be fucking pissed when she sees your feet on her favorite chair, Booker mumbles, trying to adjust the pillow under his head as Joe props his feet up on the leather seat, ultimately giving up and just laying his head in the other man's lap when any semblance of comfort eludes him. She won't even let Theo sit in it yet. Let her be pissed. Better to have her be mad at me than at you for once. Silence settles over them both as Booker numbly stares at the living room wall. It feels as heavy as Leia's hands around his throat did earlier, and he feels his breathing begin to stutter, feels the shaky hold on his emotions he's clung to this whole night start to crumble as Joe's hand comes down to rest on his shoulder. And once he feels himself careening into that terrible inward stumble, Booker can't stop the inevitable collapse, his entire chest caving in on itself like it's being sucked into the black hole of his heart. I thought I was going to die tonight. He's so quiet that Booker's not even sure Joe hears him until the younger man's grip on his shoulder tightens. Joe's shallow breathing catches above him, and another wave of nausea comes as he hears Joe croak. Booker, I need you to know that, statistically, Leia's going to do this to you again, and she's more likely to eventually kill you because of it. A hot, sharp tear pools in the inner corner of Booker's eye, and he can't stop his hand from trembling as he reaches up to scrub at his eyes. This isn't... A rattling breath punches out of his chest, and it's all Booker can do not to break down in Joe's lap right here and now. This wasn't the first time she's done this,
It's just the first time I've needed to call you. Joe softly swears under his breath in Arabic, and the silence that follows seems to last for an eternity, until he finally asks, "How many times has she choked you?" Booker swallows back salt water as the bitter shame-filled tears spill over the bridge of his nose and down along his temple onto his friend's leg. As much as he wants to keep the words trapped in his aching throat, Joe deserves the truth. But it doesn't mean the answer doesn't leave scars as it claws its way out of his mouth when Booker finally croaks, "This was the third time." After that confession, Joe doesn't say anything. Doesn't try to comfort him. Doesn't try to beg him to leave for the thousandth time. Doesn't try to lie and tell him everything's okay. All Joe does is slip his hand down, curling around Booker's chest and holding him so protectively that it makes his heart break all over again. There's nothing either of them can do to fix this. Booker can't leave, and Joe can't protect him in the middle of the abuse, but that doesn't mean Joe's leaving. He clenches his eyes shut as a muffled wail erupts upstairs, Emil's tiny cry cracking his chest open as Booker listens to the bedroom door open and Leia's footsteps cross the hall, and all Booker wants to do is tuck his tail between his legs and crawl back up the stairs to beg for her forgiveness, just so he can hold his baby. It wouldn't heal his wounds, but God, right now, it would fix everything. And almost as if he's reading Booker's mind, Joe suddenly whispers, "Tomorrow." His grip around Booker tightening while his other hand comes up to rest on the crown of his head protectively. "You'll be able to hold both of your boys tomorrow. Just try and get some rest tonight." He won't find rest until Leia either decides she's done with him or just outright kills him, but there's no use telling Joe that. So as Emil's crying softens into silence, replaced by the sickeningly gentle sounds of Leia's voice as she sings him a lullaby, Booker closes his eyes and feigns sleep. After all, if there's one thing he's gotten good at over these last few years, it's pretending. First, birthdays. When Andy wakes up, she finds all three of the boys between them. While she doesn't remember Booker waking up during the night and is pretty sure nobody was crying, this has become a common occurrence on its own. Every once in a while, Theo will help haul Jean-Pierre out of his crib while Emil follows his brothers, everyone climbing into their bed just to be close. She rolls over, just taking in the quiet moment and the peace on the boys' faces, the peace on Booker's face. It's still hard, and part of her knows it's always going to be hard, but the good outweighs the bad in every metric Andy measures her life in, and she wouldn't change a thing. Reaching out one hand, she gently combs her fingers through Booker's hair, stroking her thumb up along the center of his forehead until his eyes flutter open. It takes him a moment to wake up, letting out a small groan as he desperately clings to sleep, but he finally focuses on Andy's face, and a gentle, content smile tugs on his lips. "Hey," Booker rasps as he leans into her touch. "Hey yourself," Andy echoes quietly, voice barely a whisper at all. "Happy birthday, Book." A wistful look flickers in the overwhelming fondness on his face. "Thanks, babe," he whispers. "Wasn't sure I'd make it to this one." "Lucky for us you did." Andy can't imagine a life without Booker, not anymore, and she knows this is the first of many perfect birthdays to come. She strokes her thumb along the bridge of his nose and feels her heart skip a beat when Booker tilts his head up to kiss it quickly. Theo snuffles quietly against his father's chest, but settles back down soon enough, JP and Emil still out cold. It's moments like this that she wants to have last forever. It's memories like this that Andy wants to live in from now until eternity. "What did you want to do today?"
she asks quietly, as Booker tucks her hand in close underneath his chin. Anything special for your birthday? He shakes his head, eyes closing contentedly as he murmurs, No, just this. This is enough. The end.